50. A sick man who ardently desires to be cured takes the greatest pains to ward off everything that might retard his progress, eats with the utmost moderation, even the most wholesome food, and considers almost every mouthful whether it may or may not do him harm. So, in like manner, if you earnestly desire to be cured of the fatal disease of pride, and if thou truly aspirest to the precious possession of humility, thou must be always attentive and cautious, lest thou sayest or doest anything which might impede thee therein. And with this object it will be well on each occasion to ponder whether that which thou art about to do tends or tends not to humility, in order either to do it immediately with joy or to discard it entirely. 51. Another exceedingly powerful motive to induce thee to practice the beautiful virtue of humility is the example of our divine Savior, whom we should continually take as our model. He it is who saith to us in the Holy Gospel, "Learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart." The Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11, verse 29. And in fact, as St. Bernard remarks, quote, "What pride is there which the humility of this divine master cannot extinguish?" End quote. Verily it may be said that he alone in reality humbles and abases himself, and that we, when we seem to humiliate ourselves, do not lower ourselves at all, but simply take the place which belongs to us. For being vile creatures, guilty perhaps of a thousand misdeeds, we can lay claim to no other right than nothingness and punishment. But our Savior, Jesus Christ, lowered himself infinitely beneath that lofty height which belongs to him. He is the omnipotent God, the infinite and immortal being, the supreme arbiter of all things. And notwithstanding this, he became man, weak, mortal, subject to suffering, obedient even unto death. He has borne the lack of all temporal things. He who in heaven constitutes the joy and the beatitude of the angels and of the saints willed to become the man of sorrows, and took upon himself each and all of the miseries of humanity. The uncreated wisdom, and of all wisdom the principle, has borne the shame and mockery due to a fool. The Holy of Holies in sanctity and essence suffered himself to be reputed a villain and a malefactor. He whom the countless hosts of the blessed in heaven adore willed to die a disgraceful death upon a cross. And lastly, he who by nature is the sovereign good has endured every kind of human misery. Then, after such an example of humility, what ought we not to do? We who are but dust and ashes. And what humiliation should ever appear hard to us who are not only the most abject and vile worms, but what is worse still, most miserable sinners. 52. Consider, moreover, the examples left thee by the saints, both of the Old and New Covenant. Isaiah, that prophet so virtuous and zealous, believed himself to be impure in the sight of God, and openly declared that all his justices were as filthy rags. Daniel, whom God himself, in the book of Ezekiel, describes as a holy man, capable of arresting by his prayers the divine wrath, spoke to God with the humility of a sinner, and as one who ought always to be overwhelmed with confusion and shame. Saint Dominic, a prodigy of innocence and holiness, had attained to such a degree of self-contempt as to fear lest he should draw down the curse of heaven upon those cities through which he was obliged to pass. Therefore, before entering them, he would prostrate with his face to the earth and weeping cry out, "I conjure thee, O my God, through thy most tender mercy, to regard not my sins, lest this city, which is about to suffer me to linger within its walls, should in consequence feel the effects of thy just vengeance. Saint Francis, who through his purity of life merited to bear in his body the marks of the Passion of Jesus Christ, firmly and sincerely believed himself to be the most wicked of men. This persuasion so possessed his mind that no one was ever able by any means to disabuse him of it. The reason he gave for it was this, that if the least of mankind had received from God all those signal graces which had been bestowed upon him, such a one would have made far better use of them, and certainly would not have requited them with such base ingratitude. Various other saints themselves, unworthy of the food of which they partook, of the air they breathed, of the clothing which covered them. Others looked upon it as an extraordinary miracle of the divine mercy that they were suffered to remain upon the face of the earth, and were not precipitated headlong into hell. Others again wondered how their fellow men could put up with them, and why the whole of creation did not unite as one man to exterminate and annihilate them. Lastly, the saints have all held in abhorrence dignities, praises, and honors, and from that utmost contempt with which they regarded themselves, we see that they longed for naught else than humiliations and scorn. And art thou more illuminated or holier than they? Why not then place, as did these saints, thy soul and entire delight in holy humility? 53. Now to increase the more in this virtue, and render humiliations sweet and familiar, thou wilt find it of great advantage to picture to thyself frequently the affronts which might come upon thee unawares, endeavoring, notwithstanding rebellious nature, to accept them as sure pledges of the love of thy God, and as a certain means for thine own sanctification. Perhaps in doing this that thou mayest have to undergo many struggles, but act courageously, and be valiant in the strife, until thou feelest thyself firm and resolute to suffer all with joy for the love of Christ. 54. Let not a day pass in which thou reproachest not thyself for that for which thy enemies might reproach thee, and that not only to sweeten beforehand the effects of such reproaches, but more especially to maintain thee in a state of lowliness and self-disesteem. But if it should happen that in the tempest of some violent temptation thou art inclined to be impatient, and to murmur interiorly at the way in which God tries thee, repress these feelings betimes, and say within thyself, "What? Should a vile and miserable sinner such as I dare complain of this tribulation? And if I have not already deserved punishments infinitely worse? Knowest thou not, O my soul, that humiliations and sufferings are indeed thy true bread, bestowed upon thee as an alms by the Lord, so that thou mayest for once and all rise up out of thy misery and want? Ah, shouldest thou refuse these alms, thou art not worthy of them, rejecting as thou dost so rich a treasure, which perhaps will be taken away from thee and given to others to make better use of. The Lord wishes to number thee amongst his friends and disciples on Calvary, and wouldest thou, yielding to base fear, make the great refusal of combat? And how canst thou expect to be crowned without having fought? And how canst thou claim thy wages when thou hast not borne the burdens of the day and the heats? These and the like reflections will rekindle thy fervor, and will beget in thee a desire of leading a life, even of suffering and humiliation, an imitation of the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. 55. However great may be the peace and tranquillity which thou enjoyest in the midst of abuse and contradiction, thou shouldest not on that account take it for granted that thou possessest a calm and triumphant humility, because pride is frequently only dormant, and if it has happened to be aroused, it begins anew to inflict upon the soul serious injuries and losses. Let the study of the knowledge of thyself, the fleeing from honors, and the love of humiliations be thy weapons, and of these thou shouldest never divest thyself, nay, not even for a single moment. If thus thou shalt acquire that rich inheritance of humility, then wilt thou have no longer any fear of losing it, because it is only by continually humbling thyself that thou shalt preserve the precious gift of humility.